Good morning.
Good morning. Chris here.
Hi, Chris. How are you? This is Joanna.
Oh, just wearing my jacket. A little chilly last night.
Yeah, really?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Kathy. I've just joined the call.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Donna. Jay's on.
Hi, Jay.
Good morning.
Morning, Jay.
Oh, good morning. Are you Chris? Chris?
Yes, yes, sir.
Oh, you're up early.
Oh, I was up at 5 o'clock. Up early. Isn't it time for lunch soon?
Yeah, I know.
Jay, Chris is sending emails at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, so he never sleeps.
Oh,
yeah. No, I do 12-hour days, 7 days a week. If I'm not working for work, I'm working at my farm.
Okay, who just came in with the last four digits instead of 283, please?
That's Ron.
Hi, Ron, how are you?
Good. So was this posted for 9, or I didn't see a time. That's the only thing.
9 o'clock it was posted for.
Okay, yeah, that was missing from the website. Thanks, so.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
yeah.
Well, hi, Ralph, how are you? Hi, Dinah.
I am good.
Hello.
All right, let me just get mine.
Is Kelly in the office yet?
I am here.
Yep, Kelly is here.
Idle, Chris.
Okay.
Hey, good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
We'll just give it another minute here.
Just as a note before things start, you should consider using Zoom. In that way, everyone would see everyone else who's on the call, and it is automatically videoed. So it's kind of a good thing. But that's for later. It's easy to set up. I can help.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
All right, it's just after 9 a.m., and I'll call the meeting to order. This is Jay Buckley, by the way. And we don't have a set agenda for today, but I do want to talk, obviously, about the status of the Reinach project with Chris Albert, the project engineer. We have a couple of housekeeping items that Kathy and I need to take care of. We have a letter of resignation from Adam Leiser that we need to make a motion to accept. We have a lot of 91A requests that we need to address, and a couple of other things. So let me start off by making a motion to accept the resignation letter of Commissioner Adam Leiser. He sent it on, I believe it was Thursday night. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion, Kathy?
No, I think if anybody wants to read it, it's a public document, and they can 91A it from Donna.
Okay, good point. So I'll call the vote for the motion, and I vote yes to accept the letter.
Yeah. I vote yes.
Okay. And motion passes.
Okay.
Okay. One other housekeeping is we had talked at our last meeting about the motion that was made a couple of meetings prior, whereby the Board of Commissioners would have to get permission in a commissioner's meeting to forward any questions or concerns to either the contractors or the project engineer, Chris Albert, or the water operator, Ian Hayes. And I'd like to make a motion to rescind that motion and undo the that vote that was taken, I believe, 3 weeks ago now. So I'll make a motion that we allow the Board of Commissioners to reach out to the project contractors, as well as the water operator and project engineer, so that we can have a full and real-time line of communication with our project.
I mean, I'll second that motion, but certainly for discussion, which is primarily the point of this meeting today.
Okay, yep. And so any discussion on allowing full communication from the Board of Commissioners to the project engineer, the project water operator, or the project contractors? Any further discussion?
Yes. And, you know, I'm not sure how much Chris is aware of, but the meeting we had on Thursday was fraught with frustration, to say the least. And I think that the district needs maybe some direction from Chris. He's managed these types of products and types of projects in the past, and I think he may be able to give us some insight as to what the best procedure should be. And yes, I agree that there has to be some point of contact where all the information is funneled to one person through some sort of a process. But I don't think 15 people should be calling 14 other people and having duplication of effort and, you know, me calling Ian and Jay calling Chris, but Donna reaching out to Dawson's. And so I think we just need to somehow figure out a streamlined way of making sure that the district knows what's going on, that we're not caught off guard, as I think we kind of were on Thursday and Wednesday and Thursday of last week. So I think I'd like to hear from Chris and then also from Kelly as to, you know, how we can alleviate some of these miscommunication issues.
Yep, Chris and, here.
Give us some suggestions.
I think Dawson did definitely, you know, jump the gun without proper notice. He's actually, what happened is he's actually ahead of schedule and ran out of work. They're moving at a very fast pace, so I think he was kind of astonished on where he was at and what he could do next. And I didn't realize, you know, that he had to, you know, shut down that little dead end section on Ristenstock. I think, you know, he's kind of learned his lesson, and I think from what we want to do, and I think that's the good reason why we're having today's call, is what I'd like to do is set up with the commission as an official type notice is to have these conference calls, you know, whether Zoom, we have Teams at our company that I can set up, but, you know, conference call, phone, to kind of go over what both contractors have completed the previous week and then what the expectations are for the week moving forward, you know, Monday for this week. So that way the commission can put it on the website, let the general public know, let Kelly know, Ian, you know, can be in the loop. And I really kind of got second wind as far as the commission's outlook on discussions. I mean, I'm pretty much available 24/7, 7 days a week. Jake's available the same way. I just got off the phone with Joe at DN Tanks. I have their cell phones. I mean, we're all pretty much always available. I think it is important, though, for the district, the residents and everything. If the residents have issues, they should go through with the commission. They should go through me, and I should go through the contractors just to keep it. I mean, it doesn't mean we can't discuss things, but from a normal dialogue, it should go through that chain. I had an instance in Newmarket where the property manager was texting Jake daily, and I was out of the loop, and I had no idea what was going on. So it's, we don't want to get into text messages. If emails are sent, it should be an email to everybody so we're all on the same page. Things happen, weather happens, projects change as far as schedules. You know, we're dealing with an underground project where, you know, ledge is a factor, so things are going to change from that aspect of it. But I think we're all open for discussion. I think transparency is key, that we're all on the same page. But I like the idea of maybe, like you said, having this meeting every, you know, kind of an official weekly meeting. That way at least, you know, lets the public forum open and lets you guys know. And that way we can, you know, let you know what they did last week and what's going to come up this week.
Okay. So you're suggesting, go ahead, Jay.
I was going to let Kelly speak if he has any concerns.
Yeah, I just a couple. I think what we're lacking, Chris, is something on site. Someone who has hands-on that can deal with day-to-day problems. I'm not looking for someone full-time. Typically, what I've seen is what we refer to as a part of the work.
Well, you're there every day. I mean, we didn't really have in our contract to have – I mean, there's no money in the world that could cover the cost of having an engineer on site daily. I'm trying to come up. I'll be up there tomorrow for the ledge work. I mean, you have a superintendent. I mean, they're laying pipe in the ground. I guess if there's issues, I mean, give me a call or text me, call me. But really to have somebody standing there 8 hours a day, you know, that'd be another $100,000 budget just for having an engineer on site, which the scope of the contract isn't set up that way.
Not what I'm really looking for, Chris.
Yep. Okay.
With projects I've been involved with in the past, we've had typically it's a phone number or someone that's within reach that if there's a problem, like with Dawson closing roads, someone could immediately take care of that. Broken water main. There's a number you call, and that person is pretty much a headache person. Someone has to deal with the ins and outs of the daily project, not someone on site, someone that visits the site, someone who's in control of what's going on. Right now we have different people doing different jobs in the district with nobody watching all of them. Not looking for a full-time person. It's certainly not me.
Yep.
I don't have the time.
Right.
But what I've seen in the past is someone that – and. A clerk of the works. We had one when we did the bottom of Oak. We hired someone on, it wasn't a lot of money, I don't believe, that pretty much handles, if there's a problem, he gets the phone call, he's got to figure out what to do with it. We had a broken main that we weren't notified of quickly enough. We had roads closed that we had no idea were going to be closed. We still have roads closed. Not blaming you, Chris, but someone with their hands in this, that can handle these day-to-day headaches. I see, like right now, I see boring being done on the top of Rhinac with blasting mats. I had no idea we were going to be blasting ledge. That's something out of the scope of what we're typically doing here. I'm sure there's protocol to such a thing, but I don't know how you handle that. You know, and the last thing is what I was concerned about is the culvert replacement. You know, I've been kind of putting my 2 cents in on that. This would have been an ideal time to upgrade culverts that were undersized or deteriorating. If they're being replaced, I would have wanted to see them replaced with some of them with a bigger size, some of them with a different material. I still don't have any input on what the plan is for the culvert replacements.
Well, typically,
I don't think I should be calling you over, because, like you said, you're too expensive for me.
Yeah. Well, 90% of the culverts that they are going to cross, they're not going to change anything. I mean, there's a few of them that they've had to cut and re-sleeve, but again, you know, ideally. This project, sure. I mean, we could have redone the culverts if that's something you want to do. We're just starting, so it's a matter of trying to coordinate that.
It's an added cost, though. It's not something that was figured in originally.
No, this is a water project. I mean, you know, it, drainage and roadway upgrades, that's always that mission creep aspect. I mean, the plans have been out there as far as what, where we're replacing the water lines, whether or not, you know, the commission or you wanted to upgrade them back during the design process, that's something we could have added. I mean, Jay, if that's something we want to add, Dawson said if, you know, if we want to supply, if the district wants to supply the materials, he would replace those as he goes by.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
I'll just say that I feel like now I'm getting involved in this, kind of finally the fourth quarter. I felt like there was a gag order in place for a lot of months that I wasn't privy to a lot of this. I didn't get designs. I didn't get anything. So to look at this now, I would have definitely recommended upgrades to most of those culverts. A lot of them are old steel. They should be plastic. They should be down deeper. They should be done differently. It's just unfortunate it wasn't part of the original scope of the project. Too late now. I don't know how you find money now to add. I know there's that extra money we have sitting there, but that's not what it was intended for. That's the end of my gripe on it. Now we got to deal with what we have. But as who's watching the pipes going back in? Who's watching that they're being done properly and re-sleeved or however they're being done? That's when someone else, a third party, or someone has to watch this. It's not me. I get a full-time job.
Yeah, I want to circle back to the motion that is on the table. The motion basically is to allow the commissioners to speak, contact, and communicate with the contractor, the water operator, and the project engineer, which would be Chris. And I think with what Chris just explained, and we can make a decision on this in just a moment after this one, but Chris is offering to sit down each week with the Board of Commissioners during a commissioner's meeting to discuss the status, the things that have happened in the past week, the challenges, and the things that are coming up in the forthcoming week. So I think that's a great start right there. As far as the number of questions that Kathy brought up with regards to having a bunch of people call during the week, I don't think that that is likely to happen with these weekly meetings, since most everything will be talked about during the meeting. If there is any issue that the contractor needs to be contacted, it would be for such an item such as, a boulder falling out of a dump truck on the way up Appenville Way and then sitting in the middle of the road. Somebody needs to be contacted to go and remove that. But I don't see really a barrage of questions or calls that would be coming in during the week between our weekly meetings. Kathy, you have any other questions?
Well, I think what Chris was alluding to is that he's being paid to use the project. And if you've got questions, if Kelly's got questions on when DN Tank's arriving or through Dawson, that it might make sense for all the questions to be fielded through Chris and not have, you know, like he said, Dawson and Ian and DN Tank being contacted directly by us. And Chris does respond within an hour at the longest. I mean, he's very good at getting back to us. So if Chris is agreeable, I think that makes the most sense, that he is that point of contact. Granted, he's not here on site every day, but like Kelly said, at least he's got a phone number that he can call when there's an issue.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with that. Chris is the project manager, and all the questions that come up either from the Board of Commissioners or through residents that need to be going through the office and then to Chris. That would be the person I would rely on all my answers for, Ms. Chris.
Okay.
So I have a
all
problem
right.
with that. I guess it's the question about whether Kathy, you or I can call Chris. That's what we were prohibited from before.
It doesn't really matter to me. I work for you guys, so however you guys want to handle it, if it's one, both, Donna, I just think it just needs you are the elected people, so it just needs to funnel through you to me, to the contractor, just so we don't get too sporadic and from that standpoint.
Yeah. I think this was kind of an unusual week that we just had, and hopefully it will smooth out going forward. But I think if we do, if Donna called me and said, "Oh my God, yeah, Kathy, something's going on Fallon's."
You want to come in here? Nose up there and back down here. Right. I'm going to have you dump it as close to that black plastic.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Excuse me. But he usually raises it back there and drops it before he comes back out.
Hello.
Hello.
Donna, you put him on mute.
It's a plan.
Yeah. Who is it?
It's Dinah. Okay. Thank you.
It's not me.
No, it's not her. Who's number 8488?
Is that Mark? Yeah, I think.
Hello, who has the last four digits of 8488, please?
I think that's Mark.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, Chris.
How do I put him on mute? Okay.
Okay.
Can you call?
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
It's muted. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Donna. So, if something urgent occurs and one of the commissioners gets involved, as long as we copy the office saying, I'm reaching out to Chris. Here's the problem, so that the other commissioner is in the loop that issue has already been addressed. And I think Kelly the same way. If he's got Kelly. Chris's number and somebody's got a road issue, just copy the office saying, I called Chris because of water running down a road, so that now we know that somebody has contacted Chris, so that not all four of us are doing it.
Right.
That would be, I think, the wiser way to go. And that way, and if we're all copied on it, even if the office is closed, I would get notification through email that Kelly already made the call to Chris or that Jay, you did.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go back to the motion. Donna, could you read the motion back so that everybody on the phone can hear it?
To allow the BOC Jay wants to rescind the motion to allow the BOC to reach out to the project contractors and water engineers.
Okay, do we want to change that, Kathy, at all? Or I don't see that we're going to get much.
We're rescinding the original motion, so I'll vote in favor of that.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, so, and all in favor?
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye. Okay. So all we're doing is rescinding that motion. We're not creating a new protocol by rescinding that original motion.
Right.
Okay. So do you want to make a motion that going forward, all communication will go through Chris Albert and the office will be copied, as well as the DPW and the commissioners?
And I will basically use your words to make that motion. If, Donna, you could capture
okay.
that.
I can do that. Okay.
Could you just read that?
Sure. I'll make a motion that any communication – regarding the Reinhardt project, be directed through Chris and have the office copied on all correspondence.
And I'll second that motion. Do we have any discussion?
No, I'm good with that.
Okay.
I just don't
all,
want
say,
well, yeah.
All in favor say aye?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want Chris. I just don't want Chris getting the call from two different people, then Ian getting the call from the third person, and that's just a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you have to do a phone call to get things going, it should always be at least followed up by an email with everybody copied. If you notice, kind of like on my emails for Jones and Beach, you'll see Stephanie and Holly copied. That's our admin staff. Every email that takes place in my company is saved in correspondence folders. It's not only is it good to save, but those are legal documents that we need to save. That, you know, he said, she said. It comes back to Bernie 6 months, a year later. So again, if there are emergency phone calls that need to happen, it just should be followed up by an email, just as kind of that paper trail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Hey, Chris, just going back to something that you sent this morning. So you sent an amendment to the contract number 5, which is the ledge probe, which is going to be taking place tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yep, that's part of my discussion with you guys today, is that we had talked about June 2nd, so SW Cole will be up tomorrow. They've got the different areas that actually Jake and Ian marked out, that I coordinated with them on the different sections. So that'll be taking place tomorrow. So part of the, I think you had a motion, 2 months ago, for the $5,000 for the ledge work. So SW Cole was $2,500, and then our time of coordinating, marking, it's all in that contract amendment is the other $2,500 that added up to that $5,000 item.
Okay. Yeah, just a couple of quick questions. Will the ledge probe testing, will it impede any traffic? Will we be able to get around that?
No, they're in a small size pickup truck. I was actually with them at North Country Village last week, and those roads are even smaller than ours, and people were able to get by. It's a drill rig, but it's a medium sized pickup truck with a drill rig on it.
Okay.
And usually they're at a site for maybe 15 minutes to do a ledge probe. Again, we're trying to get down, 7 feet, so it's only two sections of casing on them. So, and then they'll patch it. If it's pavement, they'll patch it with a coal patch. If it's gravel, they'll just fill in the gravel hole. So it's a small 3 to 4 inch diameter hole. They're in and out and gone.
Okay. What if Murphy's Law, when they're drilling that probe and they go right through our water main, what's the protocol?
Well, I'm going to be there tomorrow for about half the day, and then Ian is going to hand off and be with them. If we're not physically staring right at him, we'll at least be at a phone chat. So this has been coordinated between Ian and myself just for that reason.
Okay. Okay, good. So we need to make a motion, Kathy, we've appropriated the $5,000, so the amendment to the contract number 5 is to increase that $2,500 figure to $5,000. Is that correct, Chris? You're doing it on contract number 5?
Well, it's our Jones and Beach contract amendment number 5 for $2,500, but it's part of the $5,000 that you approved. I've just been lacking in getting this to you. I should have gotten to that to you a month ago or so when you appropriated the $5,000. So SW Cole's budget was $2,500, and then our scope was another $2,500, equaling that $5,000.
Okay, so we don't have to make a motion because all of this falls under the original motion that was passed a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Now, do we need to sign?
The paper trail.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, does Jay, if Jay's in the office, you want him to sign that? Because it wasn't signed, I don't think, by anyone. Do you need that signed and returned to you?
Yeah, if he could sign it and email it back to me, it's just to keep our Jones and Beach paper trail going, so to speak.
Okay, we'll have that today, Chris.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. I know there was some discussion about dust control, and I know in the contract that dust control can be mitigated using a water tank truck or calcium chloride. It's pretty dry out there. Is there any thoughts with dust on all the roads used for the route to get to the top of Reinhardt? Is they going to be putting down either any water or calcium chloride to control the dust on that route?
Well, that was something that Ian and Jake and I talked about last week when I was out there. I mean, typically – dust control is for the actual work limits. So I guess it's kind of hard, you know. I know they brought in, you know, all their sand fill. So you're not going to see the truck traffic. You know, that was the sand that they brought in and stored at Thalen's is probably about 50% of the sand they'll need for the whole job. So you're not going to see the truck traffic like you did last week when they brought it in. But it was never really the intent for dust control to be the entire district per se. It's their work zone. So I guess it's something we're going to have to, again, that's why we're discussing it now, you know, with Kelly here. I mean, it's hard to have the contractor do dust for the entire area. But I want to do what the district, what the commissioners think appropriate. If you think they own all the dust when you have vehicle traffic from everybody coming up and down the roads anyway, you tell me what you think is the best approach. I mean, typically, if they're laying waterline trench and there's dust in the work zone that they're in, they would be responsible for that. It's just kind of hard to push the contractor to dust control for the entire site.
Yeah, my thought, Chris, is, you know, as you're digging up the road to lay the water main, you're bringing up some materials from down under that might not or might actually generate more dust than that which was already laid on top by Kelly and the DPW over the past few years.
Correct.
I'm seeing a lot of softer, more pulverized or powdered gravels because of the overturning of the road. And so that might actually generate more dust. That's one of the things I was seeing, especially when you're going to cut that asphalt. You're probably going to get a lot of dust coming off where, of course, asphalt doesn't generate any dust.
Correct. Yeah, so those areas they would own, but, you know, to take it all the way from the entrance, well, the entrance is paved, but I'll have to look at it when I'm up there tomorrow some more, too, and see. I know they hauled, you know, quite a bit of sand for the pipe bedding, and they, you know, they've got that stockpile area in Stalins. And, you know, so they're prepared to use calcium. I really wouldn't want to use water. I'd use calcium chloride.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So that's in the spec, and they would be using that, you know, in their general work zone or, you know, anything on Salins, anything on Briston Stock, anywhere that where they're working, Ryanike Road, those areas that they're physically working, they would own dust control in their work zone.
Okay. You know, I want to go back to a point that Kelly made, because I think it's becoming obvious now, in that Kelly was not part of the design aspects. To be honest with you, the design aspect was really being handled separately through Adam and your team, and I. Now that I'm seeing some of the things in the contract that I'm seeing now, as it was, the bid specifications were released, I think, on February 20th, it was sort of too late because they were going out to bid, the design ones. But if Kelly has ideas with respect to some of those culvert changes, who should he bounce those off? Obviously through you, is that correct?
Yeah, if he bounces them off me, I mean, Kelly, I'll be up there tomorrow if we wanted to. Do you have time tomorrow?
I do.
Yeah, because when I drove the road, I missed how many culverts. I thought there was only like three or four. They're telling me there's like almost 30. I had no idea there was that many culverts on this work zone.
Yeah, I don't think there's that many, but I was counting at least 11. Again, I'm not, from what I've been told of the scope of the project, unless it goes outside of that. But yeah, I'd love to take a look with you and get it straightened out. That way we both understand. You know, as far as the culverts that they've already, there's a couple they've already tore up that aren't replaced. And I'm just wondering if that's something they're going to go back later and replace them, or are they going to replace as they go?
Well, typically we'd like to replace
them. They tore one up and moved on to the next one. I don't know if they're going to do the whole main, then go back to the road and replace culverts, or what the plan is. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, well, that's something we can, you and I can discuss tomorrow with their site super and figure out what's easier, because right now what they're putting in is just the 4-inch main lateral. They'll be coming back later to do all the service connections. So it's whether it's 6-1, half dozen the other, or what's the best kind of means and methods for them. Because, again, we want to get the water pipe down 6 feet. So, of course, I would assume on 99% of them, the drainage will be above that. So it might be something where you just they want to kind of blow through in their means and methods with the HDB pipe. You saw it; it's fused in long lengths. It might be easier for them to go through, put a temporary patch on whatever they're cutting through, and replace those at a later date when they're doing the laterals.
Yeah, but that's probably what I'm seeing, but it'd be nice to know.
Yep, and it's something where
I don't want just patched pipe under the ground. I want full pipe.
Yep, that's something we can. Yeah, maybe I'm meeting the boring crew at 8 o'clock. Maybe around 10 or 11. I don't know what's better for you tomorrow, but we can kind of talk about
time.
That.
Yeah, I'll make time. Just let me know.
Yeah, I think I have. Maybe Donna, if you can email me Kelly's phone number again, or Kelly, what's your number again?
I'll give it to you after.
Yeah.
I got too many fans in here to get my phone number out.
What kind of phone? what's your street address and your social security number?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your shoe size?
So I think that's best, Chris, if we have a one-on-one and get a few things. That'd take away all this.
Yep. No, I apologize again. Things are moving fast all of a sudden, and again, it really, the road agent perspective was really never highlighted to me originally into the project. I never really thought about replacing culverts because they didn't really jump out at me as a major constituent of the project. But seeing it now, it is. So let's just we'll get that addressed. Okay.
That's what I need, and I just get a lot of questions. I'm on the road every day, and people stop me, what's going on here, what's going on there, and I don't know, so I'd like to know.
Yeah, Chris, with regards to Kelly's culverts, when you're laying that 4-inch water main, how are you able to get underneath the culvert? Are you actually leaving it in place and then undermining it and then laying your pipe?
Yeah, some of them they're sweeping under, like there's a big 24-inch one. You probably know it better than Kelly. That's HDPE.
Yep.
That's got their flow going through, and they don't want to cut that. Otherwise, they're going to be taking 100 gallons a minute, whatever. So those, how they fuse the pipe and how they slide it underneath, it's just a matter of means and methods of welding it at a certain point and then kind of tucking it underneath. But, yeah, we talked about that last week. Some of the major stream ones, you don't, with a lot of flow, you don't want to break into those if you don't have to.
No.
Okay, I was looking at one culvert on Friday, and you just explained to me how they did it because one end of the culvert seemed to be disturbed and new. It was a new section. Yet the other end was not new, and I'm like, how did they do this? Okay, thanks, Chris. That's great. The other question I wanted to circle back to was what Kelly brought up earlier, and that is blasting at the top for the tank site itself. Are we going to be doing blasting up there? Because I thought it was a whole hammer job.
Yeah, well, we went back and forth, and again, I was supposed to get an email out. What happened was with the way DN Tank has their winding track, they have it etched in stone at a certain elevation. And we hit a big knob of ledge in the winding track, And that ledge, the bedrock ledge that's up there now, is really hard. He's already gone through one hammer. So going through the geotech report and discussing with BN tanks, they're allowed the blast just the winding track. So it's outside of underneath the tank. Because originally when I designed this, we didn't want to have any ledge blasting under the tank to introduce additional fractures. So they're not blasting under the tank. They're blasting another kind of knob off to the side where the winding track is going to get placed. And we looked at, you know, Muhammad in the mountain, or which easier, do we raise the site 3 or 4 feet to accommodate a winding track, or do we just blast it to get done? And the cost numbers were almost the same as opposed to bringing in additional fill. And we went over it with Ian about the additional fill and changing the hydraulic grade line. It was a few extra pounds of pressure. But, you know, this design of this tank took almost a year and a half with the structural engineers, the geotech engineers, myself, and the grading people, you know, in my office. And I didn't really want to at the last minute start deviating from the original plan. So we're sticking with the original plan, removing additional ledge on the site being blasted. And again, we have light items for all that. So we're still trying to keep within contract spec and design intent.
Okay, great. Thank you. Kathy, any questions for Chris on that?
Not on the blasting side of it. Now, Kelly, was there a question on the routes that were being used to get to the top of Reinhardt with the truck?
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. As far as the contractors that we have seem to be following, but when they order things from outside contractors, there's no posted route. I know you have the small signs here and there, but I'm catching trucks going straight up Baffinvale rather than following Idlewise all the way out.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thank you. I'll have Jake put in, because again, we're going to start not as much as with Jake's stuff because it's kind of small, but with DN Tank, you're going to get a lot of other vendors and contractors part of DN Tank's work. So what we'll do is we'll make sure that Dawson actually has, you know, like signs, Rhinite Tank site route to get them to go that way. Because again, we don't want to destroy those steep sections any more than, you know, than just the general traffic.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of Jake break activity. Some people complaining about the more coming down than going up.
No, I went down early this winter. We met this winter when I was up there going down. I know what it's like going down in the winter. Yeah. Pretty scary.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
So just for clarification, what is the preferred route to get up to that site, to continue down Idlewise and go up Lugano and up Sounds, up in that section?
Okay. All the way down to Thusis. All the way down Idlewise to Thusis and up Appenvale to Salins to Bristenstock.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at a map.
Lines that are out there.
Yeah, there's no arrows.
Okay. Hey, Chris, I have a question for Chris. Chris, as far as the working hours for this project, you know, I'm on the other hill, and I can hear the hammering starting around 7 a.m. Just to let the residents know, what is the expected working hours of these crews that we can start to see trucks coming in or hearing the jackhammer or other types of machinery for this project? Can you give a general overview of what those hours are?
I would say typically 7 to 5. I can get that more defined, you know, for the residents.
No, that'll be fine if that's an approximation. I know
some
of the crews will get up there actually earlier than 7 because they have to grease some of the machines that take some time.
Yep.
There's no noise involved with that. Yep.
Yeah. And I've also, I do believe there's actually some activity up there on Saturdays as well. I don't know if they were just trying to tie up some loose ends for the week, but there was work up there that I could hear as well on a Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think we really put any restrictions on Saturdays. If that's an issue, let me know. I mean, to me, I mean, we're in a perfect weather. I mean, I had this down in Massachusetts where we work Saturdays, and the public was upset about it, but then I was out laying water pipe in December. So, you know, it's the W and O.
I think as long as they're notified, there's an awful lot of vacation and second home properties here, as you know, so for people to come up to enjoy a nice quiet weekend up here, if they at least have some notification that they could potentially be working on a Saturday, it might ease that anxiety a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. I want to go back to Chris. Go ahead.
Can I just circle back one more time before I'm done? Thing, I'm going to have notification because people, I mean, we have, when the quarry next door blasts, we get complaints, never mind in our own district. We need some serious notification of when it's coming and when it's going to happen. Otherwise, people are going to really be upset.
Okay. It's a certified blaster. He conducted his survey. I'm assuming they contacted dispatch to let them know. Again, you know, I kind of leave it up to a certified blasting person to do the proper paper trail. But I'll check on that.
This is different in here. We try to notify people about anything that happens because we need to. So just give you a heads up that we're going to hear about it if people start falling out of bed.
I wasn't too concerned with the fire next thing. It is such an isolated site.
So
is Coleman Quarry. Yeah, I'm starting to learn the dynamics of the group, so yes.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to circle
back. I don't know the full protocol on blasting, but I know that some places actually contact the nearby residents to make sure that they know and to the extent of it, I don't know, but I've had companies that have actually done foundation inspections before and after on homes to make sure that there were no cracks before or after. So I don't know what extent this is going to take.
It's called a pre-blast survey. And, yeah, the one home that's there is outside the radius for the pre-blast survey, luckily. I think if we start getting into – I mean, that's the big thing that with the lead probes tomorrow and the test pits that Jake has done is that we'll have a really good idea of where there's lead for this project, the quantity, and that's when it's going to start, you know, that's when we're really going to get into the nitpicky, you know, pre-blast surveys, getting into people's basements, videotaping foundations, any previous cracks, and then getting in afterwards.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
Hey, I just want to circle back to what Chris had offered. And Kelly, stay here because you're going to be part of this decision.
Yeah.
And that is the offer to meet with the Board of Commissioners once a week. And, Chris, I believe you would offer it Monday morning at 9 a.m., such as we're doing now. The second option you had was Thursday mornings at 9 a.m., which is our regularly scheduled commissioners meeting. And I think just from a process standpoint, it might be best to have you meet with us on that Thursday morning. We'll get you first in line on the agenda so that you can go over the status and anything that will be coming up for the week or anything that the Board of Commissioners need to approve during that meeting, as well as we also have Kelly at those meetings. So it might be the best place and time for all of us to chat about the project on a weekly basis. Is that still okay with you on Thursday morning?
Yeah, that works. Like I said, I have my company scheduling Thursday afternoon because that's exactly what we do, is we do Thursday afternoon to figure out what we did that week and what's going on the following week. So,
okay, great. So Thursday's good then, right?
Yep. So we'll do every Thursday at 9.
Okay. So I'd like to make a motion that we fit into our weekly commissioners meeting agenda
status update from Chris Albert on the Reinhardt Tank project. Do I have a second to that motion?
I don't know if we need to make that a motion, but yes, I'll second that.
Okay. I just want to show that we've had agreement because Chris did give us two options. I want to make sure we choose the one that best fits everybody's schedule. Okay. So any discussion?
If I am up there on a Thursday, you know, because of, you know, milestones during construction, I'll be visibly there at that point, depending on how COVID-19 and masks. I mean, are you, you know, you're in the office, Jay and Donna, so I'm assuming you guys are all just social distancing and using masks. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But, okay, so we have a motion on the table for adding a status update from Chris Albert on Thursday mornings at our commissioners' meeting. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
And you guys meet weekly, right?
Yes, weekly, yeah.
Oh, good. So, well, let you finish. I'll go over my list after you're happy or good, Jay. Thank you.
Okay. And I think that's all I have right now with respect to the status of the project. Chris, we're going to start to see invoices starting this week. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to kind of, if you're good, I'll kind of move into what I had.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
All right, so just to give the commission, Kelly, and the, you know, general public that's on here, a date, you know, what we've done. So the site's been cleared. Again, everyone's aware of that. The Reinhardt site's been cleared, grubbed. They've hammered all the ledge for the tank pad site. They will be blasting for the winding track. They've done about 15 test pits just to find existing water lines and kind of also look at depth of ledge. They did install the inline valve at Salins, which was key. That was key for them as part of our design scope. That's been done. And again, they really moved ahead of schedule, so they started working backwards at the end of Birkenstock, working their way up the hill. They've got about 400 feet of pipe in last week, and they're going to average 200 to 300 feet a day this week. So hopefully by the end of this week, they might be up to the top of the hill at Reinhardt, give or take. I did get confirmation from Joe at DN Tanks. They're really not going to be mobilizing till June 29th, to let you know. Now, I did send you also the email on the contract sets that are posted in a cloud link. Let me know, Jay, you know, Don, if you guys want hardbound sets, I can have Steph and Polly in my office print out full-size sets if that's what you want, or if you want to stay paperless, let me know.
I think for the public, the paper would be very well, especially for 91As, that they can come in and read them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'll have Stephanie and Holly print out two sets and mail them up to you, Donna.
Thank you, Chris.
So I do have one pay rec from DN Tanks. Mostly it's, you know, bonds, insurances, drawings and stuff. It's not a lot of money, but I'll get that to you for Thursday. And then Dawson's is finishing theirs the next couple of days. So for Thursday morning, I'll try to, what I'll do is I'll probably email that to you, Jay, on Wednesday night. So you'll have time to look at it before we talk about it on Thursday morning. But there'll be two pay recs, and I'm also going to get the groundwater trust disbursement form, which is key to get to you. Mm-hmm. That way, again, everything that we're doing is 25% or 24% eligible. So, and then again, what we can also start doing is, if part of that is, I can take my Jones and Beat invoices and apply those, if that's what the district wishes, to get reimbursed at 24% on engineering also.
Okay. Hey, I just have a quick question on what you just gave off on your list, Chris. The inline valve that was placed on Salins, Was that part of the project itself?
Yes, it was. Yep.
It was, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
With the new pressure zone, well, they wanted the inline valve now just in case they do. Again, you know, Ian's being very proactive. And he's always had a hard time shutting off brakes in that area. So if they do break something on the street they're on now, it's only a matter of closing that valve and the other valve at Reinike. So it only shuts down a few homes as opposed to like a quarter of the park or district, kind of, so to speak. So, yeah, but so when this project's all done, that inline valve that they did it on the Salins will actually be closed, and that's going to be a whole different pressure zone between the upper Reinike and the lower zone. So yeah, everything we're doing is part of everything so far has been part of the design of the project.
Okay, and that unexpected water main break last Monday, if I read the contract correctly, that's the responsibility of the contractor, right? The district doesn't pay for that.
Yeah, I don't know if that was in conjunction with this project or just something else that broke.
Yeah, I think they were digging in an area trying to find the water main, and, well, you know how it works. They found it all right.
Yeah.
And
so that anything they break, they're responsible for fixing.
Yep, okay. Yep. I just want the folks on the phone to recognize
that. Yeah,
there's
no additional cost for that.
Right. I'm sorry, Chris. I may have interrupted. Are we still going through your list?
No, I think that was pretty much it. You know, just the big thing with the pay rec, and then unfortunately, DN Tank isn't going to be up till June 29th. They're wrapping up projects with their superintendents, and I told Joe, I was like, Joe, I'd rather have a good date to start than tell me you're going to spoon feed me here and there. So. You know, that puts them about a month off, but, you know, their completion date was also, you know, the middle of August. It's not a big project. I'd rather have everything ready for them and nobody working on top of each other. So in that time, that'll give Dawson's time to get the concrete done for the building, get, you know, the whole site complete. So when DN Tanks comes up to work on the tank itself, they're up there by themselves. And Dawson is off working on water lines still.
Okay. Just so our residents understand what type of traffic and how much traffic may be generated when DNN Tank comes on site to start pouring the concrete, we're obviously looking at concrete trucks that are going to be hauling in that material. Any other type of traffic that people should be aware of or expectations?
No, they'll probably have a staff of maybe four or five contractors. Be aware, most of these guys are all out of state. You know, there's plenty of parking that we've set up, you know, outside the barricade area. Usually the concrete trucks, they pour these, the walls and the roof, the little pie pieces for the roof, and then the actual walls, they'll make little pad sites, and they'll probably pour two of those a day, so it's maybe one or two concrete trucks a day. It's not like there's, you know, 100 yards of concrete going up the hill.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of time, and then what these walls are actually poured on the ground, and they actually get, once they're all done, they actually get picked up and set in place. The probably the floor pour would be probably the biggest pour that they're going to do. But again, this is a small 40-foot diameter tank. It's not a big tank for DN Tanks.
Okay. And just to let you know, Chris, we decided at our last commissioner's meeting to go ahead and fill out an application with the town of Madison for a building permit. And we're doing that just for record keeping so that the town of Madison has a record that this tank and this project was constructed on this date. I did talk with the code enforcement officer briefly, and he said because of COVID-19, basically it's going to be very difficult, if impossible, to do any on-site inspection. So he will be asking for a lot of photographs of certain items that he would be responsible for inspecting. So yep. This is a new cost to the Village District of Vitalwise. We're a municipality, so we are waived of any fees that would normally come with a building permit.
Okay. Well, usually it's in the contract that Dawson's actually has to get the building permit, because, again, he has to have – he'll have a licensed electrician doing wiring, so we have to have all that paper trail from his licensed electrician. But they're responsible for obtaining all the building permits. And typically, the inspection process that we do from an engineering standpoint far exceeds what a typical building inspector would be doing anyway.
Oh, I'm sure.
We're going to be up there doing milestones, the concrete work. We're going to be doing steel rebar inspections on the walls and the floor and all the piping, the heating system. We're going through shop drawing review. And then, again, the key that we talked about is once this project's complete, you'll have an operation and maintenance manual for the building and the tank. You'll have record drawings for all the piping that's putting in. I've gone over with the foreman for Dawson as far as taking offset ties. We're going to get all that information from him. And then, again, when the project's done, you're going to get an accurate record drawings of this project. And then, we're here to work with you afterwards as far as, working on the modeling and any other aspect for the district.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you. Kathy, you have any questions for Chris? Kelly?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, I'll see you tomorrow,
gonna...
Chris.
Yep, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Kelly.
I'm just going to, anybody that's on the phone from the public, does anybody in the public have any questions?
I will still have
I have a question, Jay.
Go ahead.
Larry Leonard. Regarding the system design for the SCADA, do we have a design in place, and is that ongoing as well in parallel?
I really haven't been too involved. What we're mimicking, and I forget the guy's name.
Lee Carroll. Tom from EIO.
Yeah, we're really, it's a black box that's coming from Tom of the same system that you have now. We're not rebuilding the watch, and it's something that he's going to be providing, shop drawings for me. But pretty much it's an Ian and Tom show of telemetry that's really coming from the old building to the new building. We're not changing anything from that aspect of it.
Well, there was always shortcomings in some of the design sections of the SCADA that we wanted to improve upon in new construction, like, the meters and the level tanks and all the SCADA controls.
Oh, yeah, all that from the metering standpoint,
But as far as
the SCADA, the telemetry system is really just a mirror image of what you have now.
Right, as long as it has all the pressures, the inflows and the outflows, so we can track everything coming in and going out of the tank, et cetera.
Exactly.
Because we're missing some of those pieces at the tank at the top of Oak Hill that we always wanted to put in.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Okay.
Ian knows what I'm talking about. We had it listed 5 years ago, what we needed.
Yep.
He's already started his design, I assume, then. Tom is given the design information of all the components and what the PLCs are going to require.
I haven't received that yet from Tom. It's his black box that he's working on.
Larry.
Yeah. Larry, do you want me to reach out to Ian?
I didn't really hear that.
Larry, do you want me to reach out to Ian and just kind of give us an overview of what the upgrades are going to be and the pump house up there?
I'll do that. That's okay. It's what Ian wants. I mean, it's Larry,
it's what
the guys had
before. Yeah. Have
him
send it so I can...
Everybody's talking over it. So, Larry, I'll reach out to Ian and see if he can give me just a verbal overview of what the capabilities will be of the telemetry and the SCADA up at the pump house when this is done.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else?
Can you document it so we can read it?
Ron has a point.
You're going to create something that we can read?
Who are you asking the question of, Larry?
Whoever talks to Ian can document what we're going to have for controls and operation that you can see on the computer screen. Okay.
Yeah.
And we can look at it. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Yeah. Okay. I will take care of that since I've worked with Ian on the other two projects. So I can reach out to him on that for you.
Okay. Does anybody else in the audience have any questions for Chris Albert?
Yeah, Ron has a point.
Go ahead, Ron.
Hello?
You go ahead, Ron.
Oh, okay. Just a very small point for Chris. In your what you were saying is Thursday night or Wednesday nights you'd be reaching out to Jay to communicate with him issues that will be discussed on Thursday. I would strongly just suggest that communication go through the office. That's all. All communication goes through the office so it can be shared across the board.
Well, yeah, I also copy the office.
Yep.
Anytime I send an email out.
It just sounded like he was used to a person-to-person communication model and pointing
same,
everything goes through the...
Right, same thing with anything that I email out, my office is copied, my admin staff, Barry Geyer, who's the principal engineer on the project, the senior, one of the owners, he's always copied. So, again, transparency is I always try to be very transparent on any project I do.
Thank you. That was it.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. To Ron's point, Donna, I know, is an engineer at heart, and I know she'd love to see all this kind of stuff coming through her email. So, yeah, please always copy the office on any
Well, I'd love them.
Anybody else in the audience have any questions or concerns for Chris? Well, great. Thank you. Chris, if you want, you can go ahead and drop the call, but I'd like to have Kathy stay on as well as anybody else because I want to talk about some 91A issues. And I want to get some of these 91A issues resolved. We have, and I can't remember how many requests we have. We have quite a few from several residents in our community. And I know for Donna, who doesn't know where all these hidden documents might be, and to be honest with you, I may not know either, or Kathy. But Kathy, do you have time possibly this week to maybe take on one of the residents' requests or two of the residents, and then we can try and find those documents and get those out to those individuals so that we can be adherent to the 91A?
Yep, I'm around all week. So anyway, is Chris okay and he's dropped off the call?
I was waiting for Jay to finish, and I was going to say good afternoon or morning, and I'll be up there tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris, very much. Very helpful.
Thank you.
Don
and Kathy, I think what we should do is maybe try to divide up some of these requests and try to tackle it as best we can. I can do a lot remotely if they're email related or even if they're documents that might be on the website. We can try and find these. But we really need to start getting these documents out to the request within the time frame that is allotted per 91A. So I don't know, Kathy, have you thought about any of the ones you thought you might be able to easily find?
I think there was any of the ones that are regarding QuickBooks report, I can certainly work with Donna on that. I think you were looking at one that looking at the survey of Edelweiss Drive, I would be at a loss there. So I think that's something, Jay, you'd be better at.
Okay, I'll take that one.
Okay. I'm sure that there's a letter I have to pick up at the office and anything that's got to be signed. Now, you in the office right now, Jay, or are you out?
No, I'm out of the office.
You are? Okay. So after this meeting, I need to, I'm going out anyway, so I can stop by and go through what Donna has, and whatever I think I can assist her with, we'll start tackling it.
Okay. Perfect. I'll take that one on the survey,
okay.
The Wednesday Thrive, et cetera.
The ones that I know I can help her with will do. If I am at a loss, then it's unfortunately going to have to fall on you, Jay.
Yeah. Okay. No problem.
I just have a question in regards to the 91As. I do have one resident that wants to come in, which he normally does, to scan all the invoices. With this COVID pandemic, I have everything set aside for him, but I don't know what the protocol is for allowing him to come in to scan because the office is closed to the public. That has to be addressed because it's probably about 6 inches full of invoices at least to copy, double-sided and everything. I don't want to ignore the request, but at this point, I don't know, you know, how to handle that. If you two could address that for me, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, I think we got some correspondence from our attorney with regards to another request similar to that. One is that documents that are within the office don't leave the office. Two, the office is closed. So they can retrieve copies of those documents and then take them home through transfer at the mailbox at the bottom of the office stairs. But we still have the opportunity or right to charge for all those documents. And seeing as how many documents they're requesting, I can't see going through a half a ream of paper every week just to, you know, suffice the one individual that is obviously interested in a lot of things in Idlewise, but it's going to be a lot of paper. And until the restrictions are lifted.
Jay, yeah. It's not even the paper. You can't put 100 pieces of paper in our copier and push copy. You have to pick up every piece of paper, copy it, flip it over, copy it, take it out, put the next piece of paper in. So it would take her 15 hours. No, I shouldn't say that. It would probably take her 4 hours to make all the photocopies of that one stack.
Right.
So
that, I realize that.
And I know
that. But, you know, we cannot deny 91A requests based on the technology or the age of our printer.
I know. So
let me go back, Donna, with your question. Let me go back to look at the attorney's advice on that, and we'll put together a plan to get that individual what they're asking for.
And, Donna,
okay. I've had everything set aside for him from day one that we shut the office. So it's not that I'm ignoring it. I just don't know how to address it.
No.
Okay.
We recognize it. Thank you.
And, Donna, and I think that you did – the stuff that was available, you did send and you did respond. So it's not as if you've totally – or that the district has totally ignored that individual's request. We did send him copies of the manifest. We sent him copies of some of the – QuickBooks report, so it's not as if we haven't made every effort to realistically provide him the stuff that we could.
Yep. Okay.
Cool.
I just want to be on the up and up and with no issues. I'm still trying to figure out sending the audios. They're awful big files. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I was just going to say they are large files. We did attempt to send one individual the whole group of files. Of course, that crashed the system because of the size of those files. So, Kathy, it would make it easier for everybody if those files were actually on our website. We did digitize them into a file format, and all we need to do is link those to the website, and that way people will be able to get them on their own. Is that possible, do you think?
Is Ron Sandstrom still on the phone?
Yep.
No. Oh yes,
okay.
Yes.
So Ron, I tried to link a video that Dawson Excavation did for their little project up there. It was like a 20-second video, and the way the URL was, whenever I could do it, but when it was finished playing the video, it jumped back to his Facebook page. So I don't know how to undo that portion of it. So I guess I'm asking if that's something that you would be interested in helping us with.
Of course. Of course, I'm always out there. So just reach out to me, Kathy, when you can, and let's just figure it out.
Okay.
I'd like to be on that phone call, too.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay. So Donna, when we get there, we can reach out to Ron via email with a couple of those files to see how we can attach them to the website.
Yep. We can figure it out.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's all I had as far as the agenda. Anybody else, Kathy or Donna, or if Kelly's still there, do you have anything else that we should talk about today?
No.
No, I think we're good.
Okay, I'm just going to open it up one more time to the audience since they've been patiently waiting and listening. Anybody have any concerns or questions for the Board of Commissioners at this time? Okay, hearing nothing, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You're entertaining again?
I am. I am a host of hosts. I'd like to entertain everybody.
All right, so I will re-entertain your motion to adjourn.
And I'll second that re-entertainment. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll see you later, Donna.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.